Welcome everyone to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Tuesday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We're going to be focusing on playoff races in the NHL, playoff matchups in the NBA. Plus, we have some UFC to react to and a AEW pay-per-view to get ready for. So it is going to be a very busy show. Thank you all so much for tuning into this one today. Let's get right into it with some basketball talk. It is the most wonderful time of the year as the NBA is getting ready for the postseason. And technically, the postseason starts tonight. It's the playoffs that get going on the weekend. But it begins with the Western Conference round of the play-in. Up first, it is the Lakers taking on the Pelicans of New Orleans before the Golden State Warriors take on the Sacramento Kings. So let's break these games down a little bit here. We're going to do that, and then we're going to look at who has the most pressure on them going into this postseason. So let's begin with the Lakers taking on the Pelicans. It's a 5:30 Mountain Time start tonight, and this is a real difficult matchup. And I think a lot of the intrigue about this game is actually how seriously one of the teams will take it. There is a lot of discussion about if a team should try to throw this game so that they can get the 8 seed and play Oklahoma City instead of the Denver Nuggets. Denver losing that wild game to San Antonio has set up this wild possibility. And I want to make something abundantly clear. Don't do that. That would be a horrendous, like, karmically and just whatever. Oklahoma City is the one seed for a reason. I get they don't have Jokic, and in a 7-game series, I would pick Denver over Oklahoma City for sure. Also, Lakers do match up better against Oklahoma City than they do against the Denver Nuggets, but still. If you do this, A, if they purposefully lose this game tonight to avoid playing the Denver Nuggets, and I don't think it'll be obvious, but if they do that, LeBron James has to exit every GOAT category ever. Because the GOAT, I don't care if it's year 21 and he's 40 years old, the GOAT doesn't duck opponents. The fact that this is even a conversation to me is utterly insane, because you still have to play that other game. And in that second game, it is either Sacramento, who, like, they can get hot. They have given the Lakers some problems. And I should note, most of these conversations are happening around the Lakers. I don't think anyone is saying New Orleans should throw this game, because a lot of people are assuming they're not gonna have a whole lot of say in the matter, really. You look at Sacramento. Sabonis has given the Lakers some fits this season. Or you go up against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And while they are not the Golden State Warriors in capital letters that they were a couple of years ago, Steph Curry can still go nuclear for a game, and then your season is over. So this should not even be a discussion. I understand why it is, but it shouldn't be. You don't mess around when it comes to just potential win and you're in scenarios. Or win or go home, I guess, scenarios in the playoffs. You go out there, you take care of business, and you beat who you have to beat. That's why I have so much respect for what the Knicks did on Sunday. It was like, yeah, we're just going to go win a basketball game, and whoever we play is who we play. We're confident we're going to beat everyone. Compared to Cleveland kind of limping their way through that game against Charlotte, setting up a matchup with the Orlando Magic. Would it have been easier for the Knicks to set up a game against the Pacers? Sure, it would have. But that, like, it's the playoffs. Easy doesn't come into it, you know? Like, there are difficult paths to championships all the time. And it's so wild to me. And look, it's noteworthy. You see the jerseys in the background and the Kawhi picture back there. And if you're listening in podcast form, you know where my allegiances are with the Raptors. And everyone's like, oh, the Raptors asterisk beside their title because of Kevin Durant's injury in the 2019 championship. But yeah, these teams should try to go for easier paths to get to a championship. So you can't do both. Just play who is in front of you. It's going to get hard eventually. No matter which path you go down, it's going to be difficult. So deal with it, is basically how I look at it. When you get into these actual games, looking at the Lakers against New Orleans, it's a really, really bad matchup for New Orleans. And like, there is some recency bias because the Lakers just beat the hell out of them on Sunday, setting up this matchup. But even like, in a grander scale situation, LeBron covering Zion Williamson has been a real issue for Zion. And it has been he completely shut him down. A, LeBron was in rare form on Sunday, but he defensively absolutely just completely neutralized Zion Williamson. Zion looked a little lost at times in that game. And then on the other end, they had no answer for LeBron. He was passing around everything. He had 13 assists in the first half with a double-double. He ends with a triple-double to go along with five blocks. LeBron was getting anything that he wanted. And just you go on through, it's they're all kind of difficult matchups for New Orleans, right? Like JV going up against 80, we're just going initials here. That's very difficult for JV. He is not as quick as 80 is. He is about as strong, but if it's a tie in the strength, 80 with the ability to shoot is just such an advantage there over JV. Same thing going for LeBron against Zion Williamson. The one kind of X-factory type player in this is Brandon Ingram, and I think he is going to be so important in this game offensively to get things going, and then defensively, he is what he is. But anytime the Lakers found any sort of a mismatch in that game, they attacked it immediately. Reeves gets McCollum on him, blows right by him, gets to the rim. Hachimura was hitting from three. Russell has been great from three. Like, I just don't think New Orleans has the firepower to keep up with the Lakers, and I think that this is specifically a really, really difficult matchup because they kind of just do what New Orleans does, but just a little bit better version of it. So I do think that this is going to be a Laker win, and then they get the Denver Nuggets in the first round. So it's tough. It's so funny to me that the seventh or eighth seed is going to try to maneuver things so they get an easier matchup in the first round. Fuck off. In the second game of the play-in here tonight in the East, or in the West, sorry, it is Golden State against Sacramento. This is the win or go home game. The winner of this goes into the eighth place game coming up in a couple of days. And it's a Golden State Warriors team that has matched up really well with Sacramento. And the Kings, if everyone was healthy, then this would be a really intriguing matchup. But if everyone was healthy, this probably isn't a matchup that's happening anyway. With Monk going down with the injury, Herter has been down with an injury as well. It's all been on Sabonis and Fox, and they cannot keep up when it comes to Curry and the rest of the Golden State Warriors. So I do think that this is going to be a really difficult spot for the Kings to get into in this game. For Golden State, like, you need the other players to step up around Curry. That's obvious. You need Draymond to keep his head on his shoulders. But this has been a team that's been playing some really good basketball. You have the game the other night where Draymond makes five threes in the first half. Klay, I think, has become a bit more comfortable in his kind of secondary, almost tertiary role on this team. And you've had some of the younger kids step up. Kuminga is playing some pretty good basketball right now. Pachemski is just constantly trying to get to the rim. And Chris Paul, everyone, it feels like everyone has kind of figured out where they fit on this basketball team right now. So that's why I do feel like Golden State ends up getting the win in this game. So there's a lot of pressure on all teams when it comes to the postseason, but some more than others. Who has the most pressure on them in the 2024 NBA playoffs? Well, let's take a look. I ranked the teams 1 through 20 in terms of who has the most pressure on them. At 20, it's Denver. They won the championship last year. They, like, the sky is not going to fall if they lose this, if they don't win it. Swing of water for the working man. Sorry about that. There is not going to be any panic about what's going on. There are a lot of young players getting some really valuable minutes on this team. If this is a year that doesn't end in a championship, there isn't going to be mass panic. Like, it should. Like, they're the best team right now, but they just won it. There's a bit of wiggle room there. Coming in at 19, it's Atlanta. No one is expecting anything from Atlanta. Maybe I should have put Chicago here. I just kind of put them back to back. Like, Chicago is 18. Maybe there's the slightest bit more pressure on Atlanta because you're figuring out what to do with Murray and Young coming up in the offseason. So who knows? But I do think that there is, like, no pressure or expectations on these teams. And both of them, I think, need to go through not seismic changes, but pretty substantial changes coming up in the offseason. At 17, it's Sacramento. They just had a great run. This is, like, the first time they've had back-to-back competent seasons in 20 years. And they're really banged up going into this. So I don't feel like there is a whole lot of pressure on Sacramento. There's a lot of expectation that they're going to be one and done tonight. At 16, it's Orlando in the "we're just happy to be here" category. They defended their asses off all season long to get to this point and have really battled and have set a high level foundation for this team moving forward. But if they get smoked in five by Cleveland, no one's going to be writing panic pieces about what's happening in Orlando. At 15, it's Oklahoma City. I know they're the number one seed, and you shouldn't just be like, oh, this is the first of many, because Oklahoma City specifically knows the danger that that can cause. But I do think that there is still a lot of growth and development assumed with this team. And so if it doesn't happen this year, I think there's going to be a little question as to why the trade deadline went down the way that it did in Oklahoma City. But I don't think that, to say there's a lot of pressure on this team, there are so many other teams facing more of it. At 14, it's Indiana. I do put them a spot over Oklahoma City because they went out, made the move for Pascal Siakam, gave up a bit, like not a ton, but gave up a bit, and now Siakam could conceivably walk in the offseason, right? He is a free agent, so I think there's a bit of pressure on the Pacers there. At 13, it's Miami. They just made it to the title game last year. They have struggled to figure out what they are this year. Sorry, tickle my throat again. So they have, again, sorry about that. They have kind of struggled to figure out, like, who should start, who shouldn't, what rotations really work for them this year. And so it's a bit of a down year out in Miami. But they've had a few good runs in a row here, so I don't think there's a whole lot of pressure on them. At 12, it's the Knicks. A bit of pressure because it's New York. How many MVP-level seasons is Jalen Brunson going to really, really have? So you can kind of understand that there would be some pressure on this team, but given the injuries that they have, given that they have kind of overachieved by getting to the 2 seed, I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Knickerbockers. At 11, it's Philadelphia, just because, like, this was they would be probably in the top three if this had been a full, healthy Joel Embiid season. But because Embiid was banged up, it feels like they're playing with house money a little bit. So I think that the situation around their season puts them a little bit lower on this list. At 10, it's Minnesota. They had a great regular season. Still not a lot of pressure on this team. But there is, like, some pressure to succeed. I think specifically on Karl-Anthony Towns, there's pressure on him to have this team make a bit of a run here in the postseason because things were going really well without him. And so if this team ends up exiting in the first round, maybe they go make a big move with a Karl-Anthony Towns, get a few things back, and try to kind of load things up that way instead. At 9, it's New Orleans. It was a healthy Zion Williamson season, so there's going to be a bit of pressure to take advantage of that. They falter late in the regular season, and that ends up costing them a spot. Like, if they're in the 6 right now, they're feeling pretty good, but they're in for a tough probably couple of games here in the play-in tournament. At 8, it's Golden State. There is always pressure when Steph Curry is having the type of season that he has. But the reason that they aren't higher is because, A, they just won a championship a couple of years ago, and B, I don't think expectations are all that high on them. On 7, there's always pressure when you're the Lakers, and there's always pressure when you're LeBron. But I think given how the bracket kind of sits for them, there is a little bit less pressure and a bit more of an understanding of, like, yeah, this ain't going to be it. But I do think that overall, like, going into the offseason, they're a team that needs to have a very big offseason. At 6, it's Dallas. How many more years are you going to get of Kyrie behaving himself for 82 games and being this locked in? And how many more years of Luka are you going to waste just being good? There needs to be, I think, some real significant strides here in Dallas this year, given how well they performed in the regular season, given the star player that is Luka Doncic, and the relative lack of success they've had around this time of year with him. At 5, it is Cleveland. If they lose in the first round, significant changes are coming to this roster. And if they win in the first round and get just dummied in the second round, I think there will probably be some changes. Look, we are all expecting Donovan Mitchell to get moved from this team at some point. So I do think that there is going to be an interesting situation around them. But if they falter, then all of a sudden, I think bigger questions get asked out in Cleveland. Coming in at number 4, it's Milwaukee. They would probably be a little bit higher on this list if Giannis hadn't been hurt. But now this is 2 years in a row where Giannis has been hurt. And you bring in Dame Lillard to kind of help with the fact that people get injured. And you hope that, well, if one star goes out, then we have another one who can kind of pick up the load. But they have been figuring out all the pieces there all throughout this season, and it just hasn't really clicked. Your star is not getting any younger and all of those sorts of things. So I do think that Damian Lillard and company have a lot of pressure on them. At three, it's the LA Clippers. Kawhi and Paul George have not had a ton of success out in LA so far, and it's getting to the point where it needs to really happen with this group to make some kind of noise out there and kind of justify the big tickets that these guys have. They made a big splash when they acquired PG and Kawhi Leonard after the 19 championship, and now SGA is a top two or three player in this league, and they don't even have a finals appearance to show for it. So I do think there is some growth that needs to happen here. In two, it's Phoenix. They sold the farm to bring in Beal and KD, and if it's a first-round whimper, then I don't think big changes are happening, but you made this move to be successful this time of year. And if it doesn't happen, that's terrible. And at number one, it's the Boston Celtics. They were so clearly the best team in the regular season all year long. If there is a slip on the banana peel here in the postseason, then that's going to be really, really difficult. So I think of all the teams in the NBA this season, the Boston Celtics have the most pressure on them going into this postseason. So that's it for the basketball talk today, but not it for the playoff talk, as the hockey season is getting ready for just an absolutely wild last couple of days. Let's talk about it. We're into the final couple games in the NHL regular season, and still a little bit left to be decided, as the East playoff race has been incredible. Let's talk about the action we saw last night. First of all, what a night, and what a next couple of days we are set up for. But it begins with the Washington Capitals with a 2-0 win over the Boston Bruins. And what continues to be the story out in Washington has been the play of Lindgren, who has been just exceptional between the pipes. Now, he did not face a ton when it came to the Boston Bruins attack last night, because they are really sleepwalking through things right now. Excuse me, but Charlie Lindgren has been everything that you would want in your goalie. He has been such a calm influence between the pipes, always in the right spot, and has really given this team a chance to make this run here into the postseason. But Washington controlled almost every aspect of this game. They were quicker, they were stronger, all of it. They out-hockeyed the Boston Bruins. And for Washington, that's great, because they are in the driver's seat right now. They do that again one more time, they are in the postseason. For Boston, I do think that this is becoming a bit concerning. Like, they got smoked by Carolina the other night, and now they didn't have a hope in this game. And at the end, Marchand is just kind of, okay, yeah, no, I'll pick up the puck. And then Dowd just takes his lunch money and scores. Again, this is the end of the regular season. Boston doesn't have a ton to play for. And one could argue you would rather play Toronto than Tampa Bay, given the goalie situations in both markets right now. But still, this is a team that got dumped in the first round of the playoffs after a phenomenal regular season last year, because they just couldn't flip that switch. Now they're having trouble flipping that switch again, or that switch is in the off position anyway, because they are sleepwalking through these games. And I do think it's a little eye-opening, and I'm going to remember this for the playoff previews here at the end of the week. For the other matchups on the schedule, it was the Pittsburgh Penguins with a win over the Nashville Predators. And once again, it's Sidney Crosby. An amazing effort, diving from behind the net to bat in the first goal of the game. Some great setups. O'Connor has been really good for them lately. And I think the big thing for Pittsburgh last night against Nashville is you got good Erik Karlsson in this game. That pass to set up, I forget who scored the goal, but the pass that he had to set that one up was perfect. Fake slap shot, passes it over, right on the tape, one timer, bang. And that gave the Pittsburgh Penguins a bit of breathing room. Nedeljkovic was good enough in this game, defensively, maybe a couple of breakdowns, but overall, they're playing such good hockey right now, and Crosby is dragging them into this spot. He is so clearly the best player on this team still, and really getting it done. And it does feel like it might be a bit too late, because they need some help going into the next couple of days, but it has still been just an amazing run. And I think shows the Pittsburgh Penguins and their brass that there is still quite a bit left in the tank for this guy. The other guys around him, I don't know. But it does show that it's, if nothing else, it's going to be tough to rebuild around this cat, because he's going to drag them into games time and time again. And then the real wild one of the night was the Red Wings taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Montreal takes a 4-1 lead. Detroit ends up winning 5-4. Lucas Raymond gets the game tying goal and the game winning goal. Detroit controlled this game. They played with such great pace and control, but Sam Montembeau was unreal at times here. Also, defensively for Detroit, a few breakdowns. Like, Harvey Pinard went right down Broadway on these guys for a goal. And there was the play there where the new kid, Hudson, comes walking in, and he has little resistance, and they're battling in front, and there's people falling, and Gallagher puts it in. So there's a few times where the key defensive moments this team was lacking, and that almost cost them here. And it's still, like, it's, again, they need some help to get into the playoffs, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun here. But they need to tighten that up for this last regular season game. So the schedule tonight, Capitals, Flyers. Caps win, they're in. Flyers win, they need some help. They would be tied with Washington for that last playoff spot, and they would need both Detroit and Pittsburgh to then lose. Detroit, a home-and-home with Montreal, so they play them again tonight. And then Pittsburgh takes on the Islanders tomorrow. That game could end up meaning nothing, or it could mean everything. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all goes down in the NHL. All right, some fight stuff to get to. First, let's look at what happened at UFC 300, shall we? So, UFC 300 goes down at T-Mobile Arena over the weekend, and for a full main event or main card breakdown, I did one on Sunday morning. So wherever you are consuming this bit of content, you can go check that out there. But just some bigger storylines coming out of it. I still am stunned we don't have a heavyweight fight for Alex Pereira today. That was such a badass performance, and then to call out someone in the heavyweight division on 3 weeks' notice to get to UFC 301, why not, right? Like, he didn't take any damage, and you need to build this momentum and get people buzzing. There's a lot going on in sports right now. You have the NBA playoffs going on. You have the NHL playoffs going on. You have the NFL draft is happening right now. Baseball season's in full swing, as they say. So there is going to be a lot of battling for headlines. The UFC can get some of that traction if they put Pereira, build that momentum, and put him in this one. I thought Luke Thomas said it best. Do I think Pereira beats Tom Aspinall? Probably not. Do I think he should get a chance to? Hell yeah, I do. Why not? If he is up for it, that there isn't a real exact challenger here at 205 pounds in the moment, and it's an extra month. You're not, I don't think you are really holding things up anyway. I truly, if you can get anyone to sign off on it, and maybe that's the issue, but if you can get anyone to sign off on it, I think you have to at least take a look and give it a shot. Like, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't do this if you were the Ultimate Fighting Championship. That was such a tremendous performance that he put on Saturday night, waving off Herb Dean, and then the power he has to get that knockout punch, mwah, exquisite. And then Max Holloway deserves a title shot coming out of that. Like, he, again, has all of this momentum build up behind him. He has such a real opportunity to again, build off of that and continue his legacy. But also, like, he's a superstar coming out of that night. I think you have to take advantage of this. Put him against Topuria in a stadium. If you want to do it in Hawaii, do it in Hawaii. If you want to do it in Spain, which I would recommend, do it in Spain. Just somewhere in a soccer stadium or football, whatever. This has to happen. I don't see any reason for it not to. And this, spoke on Sportsnet 960 about this yesterday. The purists will say that, well, he didn't win this fight at 145 pounds. Who cares? That was such a transcend. It was a performance that transcended the UFC. And that should give him, I think, an opportunity to grow from this and like really build on that star power. And that is at 145 pounds against Topuria. And if he loses, which I think he will, then you are making an even bigger star out of Ilya Topuria. So again, no real downsides. But the UFC has a lot of momentum coming out of UFC 300. The problem is the next few cards look really, really thin. Until we get to, like, you know, like the Apex card this weekend sucks. UFC 301, whatever. Once we get to 302, so a couple of those fights that were announced are really, really good. And we'll get to those on Friday. So there's a chance to build it up there, but it's slim for the next couple of weeks here. It is an AEW pay-per-view weekend. So let's look at some of the early storylines ahead of that one. AEW Dynasty goes down this weekend. And it is, when you look at this one on paper, these matches are going to be insane. Okada against Pac, FTR against the Young Bucks in a ladder match, and Swerve against Samoa Joe for the championship, and Will Ospreay against Bryan Danielson. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Have you seen a lot of buzz for it? Because I genuinely haven't. And it is tough to get buzz in a post-WrestleMania world after everyone was just buzzing for a while. But it feels quiet. And when there is talk about AEW right now, it feels negative. And I think a lot of that has been brought on themselves. Like, we should be so excited for Ospreay against Danielson coming up this weekend. Instead, we are so excited for Ospreay against Triple H, because that was the main talk going into the weekend, or coming out of last week's Dynamite, was Ospreay's promo on Triple H. And I get wanting to respond and blah, 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 but it felt very much like, I worry about you. Well, I don't think about you at all, is kind of what that feels like. And I get they were responding to stuff that WWE said, but they said that off in media stuff where AEW is dedicating time on their television show to it, which isn't a huge difference, but in perception, I think it's a gigantic difference. And again, people should be fired up about FTR against the Bucks. Instead, we're talking about the Bucks and CM Punk. So AEW has not done themselves any favors in all of this. And so hopefully, coming up on Dynamite tomorrow, we get away from all of that and just focus on what should be an unbelievable wrestling card. And like that, they're honestly, New Japan's getting more buzz right now because Moxley won. Now, he's an AEW guy, but Moxley is the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. I wonder if there is a little bit on that coming up on the show this week. But either way, AEW needs to get this thing back moving in the right direction because ticket sales are way down for this company right now. Ratings have kind of stalled, and just overall buzz, WWE is kicking their ass right now. And The in-ring product is always going to be AEW's bread and butter, but they can't keep losing all of those things. They need to get ticket sales back up. They need to get those ratings moving again in non-weird ways, in non-circus ways. So I hope that they do, because this has been a really, really frustrating stretch of paying attention to AEW. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I am at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Coming out later on today, we will have the Cat Lanato cast looking at the week ahead and the week that was for the Toronto Blue Jays, plus Blasty Banter, our Calgary Flames podcast, getting ready for tonight's game against the Vancouver Canucks. And tomorrow, it'll be Dynamite, where the Raptors' final season grades get handed out. So get ready for that. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. If you're watching this video still, you probably liked it. So give me a like and subscribe as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.
here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.